Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Anyway, that's just the bodily identification. His spiritual identification is great devotee of Krishna, going back to Africa to preach in new countries. So please, you can all give your blessings to him for that great endeavor.
So, we're on the wrong page here. Oh, I'm just going to make a complaint before I start the class.
This dancing in circles with the back to the deity has become popular in ISKCON, and I don't think it's going to stop by me saying so, but at least I can register that Srila Prabhupada was very upset when he became very angry when he saw a drama that was being performed with the backs to the deities, and he was very strong about this. So to me it looks very strange, dancing, chanting the names of the Lord and completely ignoring him who's there. Just like, it's not the first time I've done this. If I speak to you like this, it's a bit strange, isn't it? So if you're calling out the name of Krishna, he's here. That's why he's here. Because he wants you to reciprocate with him and not ignore him. So, no doubt there are many devotees who you highly respect who approve of this practice, but I'm just registering that I think it's wrong. And I've told the devotees who are promoting this also. So you can consult with your various authorities and if you want, and decide what to do. So, to go on with the class. Aparyaptam tadasmakam balang bhishma virakshitam. Paryaptam tridam etesham balang bhima virakshitam. But I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to move my head position again. So, our strength, said Duryodhan, is immeasurable, and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma. Whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. Purport, herein an estimation of comparative strength is made by Duryodhana. He thinks that the strength of his armed forces is immeasurable. Being specifically protected by the most experienced general, grandfather Bhishma. On the other hand, the forces of the Pandavas are limited, being protected by a less experienced general, Bhima, who is like a fig in the presence of Bhishma. Duryodhana was always envious of Bhima because he knew perfectly well that if he should die at all, he would only be killed by Bhima. But at the same time, he was confident of his victory on account of the presence of Bhishma, who was a far superior general. His conclusion that he would come out of the battle victorious was well ascertained. Yesterday I was speaking, or I spoke, about the dichotomy of a Vaishnav who doesn't like to kill even an insect. Actually, I didn't mention that yesterday, I was talking about trees, but insect also we can say. Advocates war, capital punishment, killing under certain circumstances. Yeah, about the insect, well, there's the famous story of Mrigari, who was a sinful killer and who later became so much concerned with not killing ants, who are considered most insignificant, and it's not really considered a sin if you tread on some ants because it's very difficult to avoid. Many times you might not even notice. We've all had the experience, no doubt, of inadvertently killing ants, and we don't realize till after we've done it. So his important duty of running to greet his gurus and bow down to them, he in the process of performing that duty, even then he was very careful that I can't kill the ants. The Srila Prabhupada, there are many anecdotes in this regard. That Srila Prabhupada, he once to one of his disciples, Nara Narayana, pointed on the table, "Do you see this insect?" And Nara Narayana said, he couldn't see any insect. Either it was very small or there was no insect there. Nara Narayana seems to think that there wasn't any insect there. But he said that, Prabhupada said, that our Krishna conscious movement will be successful when our devotees are thinking how to deliver this insect back to Godhead. Prabhupada had concern for every living being. Then on another occasion in Mayapur, Shatadanya Prabhu, I think he was a sannyas. Anyway, I don't know if he'd taken sannyas, but probably had taken sannyas. So there was a... There are various insects. There was some ants on the table, and Prabhupada said to remove them. No, that was Harishori. Anyway, I'm getting mixed up. It doesn't really matter who it was. For explaining the anecdote, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it was Harishori Prabhu, because... So Harishori very carefully removed them, and Prabhupada said, "Formerly you would have killed them." And Harishori Prabhu explained it, that he became very embarrassed because he remembered in his childhood he used to kill ants in a very horrible way. He explained that. Then there was another incident, there were so many, where Prabhupada saw a little bug on the garland, and a little bug, and he told Shatadanya, put him outside, he's hungry, he's not getting any food here. So Prabhupada, who was so concerned with every little, tiny little being, at the same time advocated war if necessary, or he thought that war was just part of life in the material world. Another occasion when Srila Prabhupada was in Amritsar, he was visiting the house of one Mr. Singh, or from Raja family, Singhs are not all, but many Rajas, so the Hindu Singh. And there was the head of a tiger was stuffed and it was on the wall. And Prabhupada asked it. Or the man told him that I personally shot this tiger. Prabhupada said, "Oh, very good, very nice." Because that's one of the jobs of a Kshatriya, to... Of course, nowadays they're trying to protect the tigers because there's not many left. But Prabhupada thought that was good, that someone who's taking the role of a Kshatriya should be ready to personally go out and fight and kill the tigers. As you were telling me, the Maasai in East Africa, there's one tribe who, before they're recognized as a man, they have to go and personally, just by themselves, fight with a lion. And previously they would have killed it, I guess, and maybe they're allowed to. They still do that, or what? They kill in some parts where the law, yeah. They have to go and personally kill a lion. Any of you ready for that? Not me. So the lions, they smell the Maasai. They don't go anywhere near them. The lions are afraid of them. So that's the Kshatriya spirit. Prabhupada told stories also. Who was that? Was it Guru Gobind Singh held his stomach? His stomach was gouged out and he still went on fighting till the last drop of breath or blood came out of his body. So Prabhupada, he thought that was very good. Prabhupada praised that. So killing under certain circumstances is very good. To kill a human under certain circumstances is very good. But to kill an insect under other circumstances is very bad. So we're talking about killing. What's the worst killing? Cow killing. that comes with killing a Vaishnava. Yeah, well, there's been a lot of that also in Bengal. A lot of Vaishnav killing during the Gondogol Shamai in Bangladesh. A lot of killing of Vaishnavas. How about Atmahatya? Killing oneself. This is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But it doesn't mean killing the body. That's also sinful. To kill, to commit suicide is sinful. There are some circumstances in which suicide is allowed. There is a system of fasting to death with the idea of getting moksha. That's mentioned in Shastra. Although it's not for Vaishnavas. Jains, they still may sometimes do that. Not for political purposes, as is common in the modern age. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Raghunath Das was so afflicted with the pain of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Raghunath Das journeyed from Puri to Govardhan. He thought, I'll just offer my obeisance at Govardhan and then I'll offer my obeisance to Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and then I'll commit suicide by jumping off Govardhan Hill. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotee, don't go up, Govardhan na utiyo. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur paraphrased that. Although it would be difficult to think nowadays where you could jump actually, because it's not very high and you don't see any cliffs or anything. But anyway, he had the idea to commit suicide in separation. Pashane kutibo mata. Anale poshibo, goranga gun era nidhi, kotai gele pabo. So, Narottam Das figuratively says, although he didn't actually do it, I will bash my head against stone. Also we find that, koruna na hoile kandiya kandiya prana rakiboa, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if I don't get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's often quoted in connection with, or at least it was previously in ISKCON, as connected with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That he used, that because in biographical accounts, or what he said himself, is that when Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj repeatedly refused to give him initiation, he quoted this. And this became in folklore within ISKCON, that became changed into a story where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was standing on a bridge over the Saraswati or Ganga or something, even though there isn't any bridge even nowadays, and said, well, if you don't give me initiation, I'm going to jump off and then go. This story was going around for many years in ISKCON, but it's just that he quoted this, that's all. It's not that he was actually going to commit suicide. So, killing Atmaha, that's mentioned in Bhagavatam. Puman bhavabding nataretsa Atmaha. One who doesn't cross over the ocean of birth and death is killing themselves, despite having all the advantages. Maya nukulena nabhasvitaritam. How does that verse begin? It's a well-known verse. I remember the third line and the fourth. Nridehyam adyam sulabam sudurlabam pavansukalpo guru karna dharam. Yeah, that's the first two lines. I gave the third and the fourth line already. Yeah, I just said that. So one having attained this, having got this human form of life, which is very rare to attain, and having, which is like a boat, it's a good boat for crossing the ocean of material existence, and one has Guru as the captain, one has the instructions of Krishna in the form of Shastra as the favorable wind. Despite having all these advantages, if one fails to cross the ocean of birth and death, then he's simply killing himself. So that's the worst form of killing, is to waste our human form of life. We can use this in preaching. People say, terrible, terrorism, they're killing. And say, well, everyone's killing. Actually, I usually tell them that the whole America's a big terrorist country. India's a big terrorist country. In America, they kill tens of thousands of animals every day. In India also. I was told that there are 80,000 cows killed a day in India, although it's difficult to know exactly, but it's a lot. Whatever it is, it's a lot. Either killed or sent to Pakistan or Bangladesh. About a year ago, year and a half ago, they had this bird flu thing, and they were saying they'd killed 1 lakh chickens in Maharashtra and all this and that. But I was thinking that the population of India is how many crores now? 110 crores, something like that. So as a conservative estimate, if there's one chicken killed every day for every 1,000 people in India, that's a very conservative estimate. Then how many chickens a day is that? Over 1 million chickens a day are killed in India anyway, with bird flu or no bird flu. So that's terrorism, isn't it? So you get what you deserve. So that's one consideration. And another consideration is that everyone's killing themselves by spoiling their human form of life and not becoming Krishna conscious, according to Shastra. We're preparing ourselves to become cats, dogs, hogs, monkeys, worms in stool, etc. So that is our position. Another Atmaha is mentioned in Ishopanishad in regard to people who are misleading, so-called spiritualists who actually mislead others. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, I'm paraphrasing here, that these cheating so-called gurus, they, after their death, after their business of cheating is over, when they die, they enter into the darkest regions of hell, and their followers go with them. So, all these highly lauded Hindu saints, the Amas and the Appas and the, there are any Appas, the Bappas and the Babas and the Shri Shris, they're all just rascals and they're misleading others. And, there is a Bappa. There's that Nirasha. What's his name? Something. Nirasha Bappa. Maybe he's not so famous here. He's more famous in Gujarat. You never heard of him? Lucky for you. There's one Nirasharam. Nirasharam Bappa. Nirasha. No hope with him. He's really Nirasha these days. Did they arrest him yet? They were talking about arresting him for murder. Yeah, he should have been arrested for murder long ago. He's killing, according to Shastra, he's killing people by posing as a spiritual leader and not giving them Bhagavad Gita as it is. So these are all considerations about killing, because people ask us about Bhagavad Gita is about killing. You say, yeah, you're a killer. You're a killer. You're killing yourself by not accepting Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we can explain like that. This is a good way to preach, isn't it? People say, terrorism, and if we just say, yes, yes, very bad, then what have we got to offer? Everyone says that. We should give some Shastric perspective. No one has a Shastric perspective. We can give a Shastric perspective on everything, and the Shastric perspective on everything is different from everyone else's perspective. That's why you find that practically everything Srila Prabhupada said went against what everyone else said. Because Prabhupada, he was heading up the Back to Godhead movement. And everyone else is the Back to the Worm in Stool movement. That Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, and everyone's, what's your future? Promising career. What will you get in future? You'll get a nice piece of stool to crawl around in. Maybe not in this lifetime. Well, in this lifetime also, you have some apartment which you think is very nice. It's just like the worm in stool, crawling around his stool, thinks this stool is very nice. I'm moving around in it. Everything's very good. So in the same way, we have a little apartment. And we move around it and we think it's very good, but it's not, because without Krishna, everything is completely useless and miserable. So, like this, Prabhupada gave a different perspective on everything. Okay, Duryodhana, he's another rascal. That we all know. It's very clear that he's a rascal. Of course, some people think he was quite good. And they get people get confused over Karna, like anything, because he seems in many ways to be good, but he was good in the same way that Jarasandha was good. Jarasandha followed the Vedic principles, including worshipping Vishnu, a Shalagram, but when Vishnu was personally in the world, he attacked him and wanted to kill him. So Karna seemed to be very good, because he had so many good qualities. He was heroic, he was charitable, Data Karna. He stuck to his word, even though he knew Indra had come in the form of a brahmana. Still, he donated his kavach, his armor, the armor that he was born with, to Indra. So in so many ways, he seemed to be good. But he was against Krishna. Therefore, he was a demon. He chose to join the demoniac party. So he wasn't good at all. So we should be careful in thinking people are good. Don't judge by the normal human perspective. Just like I mentioned one mother who used to be in Calcutta, who people think, well, she was a great saint, but she's living in Calcutta. She had no attraction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She had meat all her life, and she was trying to take... her aim was to take people away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become meat-eating so-called Christians. So, is she very good? I don't think so. I don't think so means we should see through the eye of Shastra. How is it good? What's good about that? It seems good to people who have no Shastric understanding. So, anyway, Duryodhana was very bad. In South India, we have people who think that Ravana was very good, some people. And Ram was the North Indian who came and harassed our Dravidian hero. Like this, they politicized the issue. Anyway, Duryodhana was bad. He was a fool. In many ways, he was very intelligent. But in the... From the essential perspective, he was a fool, because he didn't recognize Krishna, and therefore he was a rascal also. And he was attached to his foolishness. There are different kinds of fools. There are two broad categories of fools. They're described in Srimad Bhagavatam. One is described as... What is that? Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dvishatshucha. There's Bhagavan. He's not a fool. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are his devotees. They're not fools. And Bala, they're childish. People are foolish, but then... And there's the dvisha, or the envious. So if someone is simply foolish, that's not so bad. But if they're foolish and extremely inimical to Krishna, then they're complete rascals. So someone may be just a fool, but there's hope for them if we preach to them. Therefore, prema maitri kripo peksha ya karoti sa madhyama. The madhyamadhikari recognizes the difference between the simply foolish, between God, his devotees, the simply foolish, and the not only foolish, but also complete rascals. These four categories. He recognizes the difference between the fools and the rascals, and he's merciful to the fools, and upeksha, he neglects the rascals. So Duryodhana was a rascal because he was envious of Krishna, and he was actually more envious of the devotees of Krishna, especially Bhima, as is mentioned here. And even when Krishna showed to Duryodhana that when Duryodhana wanted to capture Krishna, which was a very foolish idea to think that he could capture Krishna. Krishna showed himself in so many places, so many forms, and then how are you going to capture me? So that was evidence that he is not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Lord, which others were able to understand, but Duryodhana could not understand it because he was so envious of Krishna. So he's a complete rascal. Now, Duryodhana's statement here, it's in Bhagavad Gita. Do we accept all the statements in Bhagavad Gita as true? Yes. Sarva metadritang manye yang mang vadasi keshava. Arjuna says, I accept, O Krishna, everything that you say as true. So we should accept everything in Bhagavad Gita as true, right? Wrong. Duryodhana is, this is in Bhagavad. Well, is it Bhagavad Gita or is it not Bhagavad Gita? It's officially it's part of Bhagavad Gita, but it's not actually what it's not Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. It's Ashri Duryodhana Uvacha. Or Nishri or whatever the word is. I don't know. Shri Ahin Duryodhana. Apashri. It's his word. So officially it's part of Bhagavad Gita, but it's not what Krishna says. And well, in one sense it's true. From the conventional standpoint, it appeared to be true that the forces of Duryodhana are aparyapta, immeasurable. Of course, the word paryapta can mean what is the antonym of paryapta? One antonym is aparyapta, and another antonym is paryapta. In other words, the same word has the opposite meaning. That's pretty confusing, isn't it? Can be. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada translates it here, following Baladev Vidyabhushan, I believe. And that's the general understanding, that Duryodhana, although sometimes the acharyas, they reinterpret the words of demons which are spoken to give their actual, factual, internal meaning. So, but what Duryodhana meant to say is recorded here, that our strength is immeasurable. And that of the Pandavas is limited. Because in terms of numbers, the Kaurava forces were significantly larger than those of the Pandavas. And what's more, although there were super fighters on both sides, the real top ones were with the Kauravas. That was Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma, Drona, Pramukhata, as he says. Yeah. A little later on. So Arjuna was also good. Bhima, good, but nothing compared to, especially Bhishma and Drona. And Ashwatthama, he was also a big shot. Before the battle, Yudhishthira went to get blessings, because before you embark on any significant activity, one should take the blessings of his gurus. So he went to get the blessings of his gurus for doing what? For killing them. The activity he was attempting to do was to kill them. So he had to go and get his blessings from his gurus so that I can kill you. And then he asked, well, how can I kill you? And Drona said, I can't be killed. You're not going to kill. Unless Ashwatthama is killed. Then he asked Ashwatthama, give you a blessing. Ashwatthama didn't like them at all. Drona and Bhishma did like them. But Ashwatthama, and then how can we kill you? He said, you can't. No way. At the end of this battle, I'm still going to be alive. And he still is alive, wandering around, incognito. So, so it's seen that the Kauravas were unconquerable. But Duryodhana made a big mistake, because he only calculated according to material calculations. But the strength of the Pandavas was immeasurable because Krishna was on their side. And even though Krishna had vowed not to fight. Jayastu panduputranam yesham pakshe janardana. The victory is with all always with the Pandavas because Janardana is on their side. So Janardana can mean two things. It can mean one who protects the people, in the case of the Pandavas, or who destroys them, in the case of the Kauravas. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, we also have the last verse that Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Krishna's Yogeshvara, Yatra Partha Dhanadharaha, Tatra Shriya, Vijaya, that word, Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama, where Krishna is Yogeshvara. So, even though from the ordinary calculation, the Kauravas, there should have been no question, they were going to win. But Krishna's Yogeshvara, which means he makes the impossible possible. Everything works according to his direction. So, if he wanted, he could. Of course, he just by his wishing, he could have just. All the Kauravas could have just had a heart attack on the spot, and they're all there. How many Akshohinis they have? 18, was it? Yeah, and then they could have just been flat out with no helicopters to Apollo Hospital. And they could have been all finished on the spot. But Krishna wanted some fun. It's Leela. It's also one of Krishna's Leela. Partha Sarathi Leela. So definitely victory was certain. You see here, Duryodhana thought victory was certain for him. But Sanjay later relating the matter to Dhritarashtra conveyed to him that where there's Krishna and Arjuna together, there's going to be Shri opulence, victory. See, even Krishna, sometimes he's defeated by his devotees. But if he's with his devotee, and his devotee is against someone else, then that person has no chance. No chance. If Krishna wants, Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke. So Duryodhana made a big mistake. He actually, his whole life, everything was a mistake from the beginning to the end. Talking about killing, getting back to that subject of killing, we're very much against abortion, right? Abortion is very sinful, right? Similar to abortion is infanticide, that when the child is born, it's still quite common in India that, especially if there's a girl child, then leave them out in the cold or give them something which will kill them or like that. That's quite common. Or if the child is born deformed or something like that, has three legs or one leg or something like that, then they just let the child die or there's... Actually, I was saying to one devotee in Tamil Nadu recently about this. And I said something they give them, and he was from a village. He said something, I read about this, something they give them. They give them whole grains or something to eat. So it pierces the, yeah. Yeah, so you know. And he also said, no, they give them this juice from a different plant. So you see, you know, he know. It's still a common thing, unfortunately. But we find that when Duryodhana was born, Vidura said to Dhritarashtra, kill him, it'll be better for all of you. Vidura, who was Mahatma Vidura. And he didn't. Dhritarashtra didn't kill him. But there's... See, even in Shastra, there's a case for infanticide. In this, it's an unusual case. It shouldn't be taken as an excuse. Just like there are many unusual things in Mahabharata. Just like Draupadi marrying five husbands is very unusual. It's not something to be imitated. Any ladies here like to have five husbands? Maybe they would. They don't even want to have one husband these days. Let alone five. Or maybe they have five, one after the other, but not in India. Usually they go maximum two. But in the West, it's quite prestigious. The big film stars. Anyway, it's adharma. So it's very interesting. Mahabharata teaches us about dharma, right? We learn so much about dharma. But we find so many unusual things there. Just like Krishna inciting Yudhishthira to tell a lie. That doesn't seem very good. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani. Well, he himself is doing dharma glani by inciting Yudhishthira to lie. But everything has to be understood in context. It just goes to show that in this world, if you want to be purely dharmic, even if you want to be very good, you can't. It's not possible. Sava rambha hidoshena, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says. In every endeavor in this world, there is some fault. It's not possible to be completely pure on the material platform. It is possible on the spiritual platform. So Krishna's inciting Yudhishthira to tell a lie. Actually, he didn't tell a lie, but for Yudhishthira to be free from telling a lie, then unnecessarily an elephant had to be killed. So Yudhishthira thought it was more important that his telling a lie, not telling a lie, that be maintained, and the elephant can be killed. So there's so many instances in Mahabharata of the what appears to be good is shown not to be good. There was the Brahmana who vowed never to tell a lie, and he maintained that vow throughout his life. He went to hell because in one circumstance when he should have told a lie, he didn't tell a lie. So it just goes to show that in this world, nothing is completely pure. Only Krishna consciousness is pure. And if one is Krishna conscious, then even living in this world, we may have to tell so many lies. Just like I'm going to Bangladesh soon, and when I come in the country, they're going to ask me, what are you doing? Oh, tourist. Well, it's not totally untrue, but I'm not a tourist in the normal sense. I'm not telling them, well, actually, I'm coming here to preach Krishna consciousness. It would make more sense not to say that. For the purpose of serving Krishna, it's better to tell a lie in some circumstances. But we should know what the circumstances are. This world is very complex. Iha sansare bahudustare kripaya pare pahi murari. So take shelter of Murari. And it's always may be difficult to know exactly what to do, especially when we're out on the battlefield of life. If we're in an ashram, and you see so many ashrams, it's a very regulated kind of life, and you get up in the morning, do your bhajan, which in many ashrams which I've seen, the main bhajan in the morning is reading the newspaper. I've seen many. I'm not talking about in ISKCON, although maybe also. But many sadhus, their morning sadhana mainly consists of reading the newspaper. So anyway, it's a peaceful life. You get your rice or chapatis, depending on which part of the India you live in. And you do your bhajan. Usually a lot of sleeping. Most ashrams. But if we're out in the world preaching, it's a great challenge. We have to meet so many people and so many different situations come up, just like you were telling me there's some property dispute. So we could be just sadhus and say, no, you take the property. You should fight for Krishna. Arjuna wanted to be a sadhu. Krishna told him, okay, be a sadhu. You see that bow, Gandiva, you want to put it down? Pick it up. Use it. This way you'll be a sadhu. So, who is a sadhu? Prabhupada was out in the world calling people fools, rascals, nonsense, animals, You might think, well, you'd be a bit better sadhu if he just sat peacefully and sung the Gopi Gita. But actually, Prabhupada, he never sung the Gopi Gita. Well, the Dashavatar Stotra, that part he sang. But he was out telling people that now you are living like an animal. And he said that a lot, because unless people understand that, they can't start to be a human being. They can't start to be Krishna conscious. So you may think, well, how is that serving Krishna? Better you should sit and play the harmonium and sing very sweetly, and that's more Krishna conscious. Well, that's what Arjuna thought. He thought, I'll just go away and be a meditator. But Krishna told him, pick up your bow, put on the arrows, shoot and kill. And that is your Krishna consciousness. That is how you have to serve me. So there are so many misconceptions in the world. Duryodhana had a misconception. Everyone has a misconception. Everyone in this world has so many misconceptions. So we should try to understand the world as Krishna sees it. Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam in one purport that Krishna consciousness means to see the world as Krishna sees it. Through the perspective of Shastra. So we should be very careful not to be influenced by mundane ideas. Just like people think a sadhu means someone who smiles a lot and talks very gently and talks peace, love, without any clear idea of what peace or love or all these. They're just very vague. But Prabhupada wasn't like that. Of course he smiled. He also spoke of peace and love, but he made it very clear that there's no peace without recognizing Krishna. There's no love unless that's centered on Krishna. He was very clear and to the point that the actual life of a sadhu is to serve Krishna as Krishna wants. It's otherwise very easy. The Mayavadis and the Sahajiyas, both sides, they have this stereotypical idea of a sadhu, someone who's just very nice, very polite. So it's not bad to be nice or polite, but that in and of itself doesn't constitute the essence of being a sadhu. The essence of being a sadhu is, if necessary, pick up your bow and shoot. Or if necessary, one may have to lie, steal, cheat, or even kill for Krishna. We don't expect to do that, and one shouldn't do so. One shouldn't perform such extreme activities unless one is under the guidance of devotees. I mean, normally a devotee doesn't have to kill for Krishna. Lying is not unusual if you're traveling and preaching, especially in country. I just came from countries where Krishna consciousness is not liked at all, so you have to tell a few lies here and there. But it shouldn't, not as a habit. It's not that we should, among devotees, tell lies and make. We have to know how to apply the principle of satisfying Krishna. So it's complex. Mahabharata shows us how life is complex and how to be right and how to be good. It's not so straightforward. Especially when we're out in the world trying to serve Krishna. This world is very complicated. So, that's all I'm going to say now. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And if there's any questions, or if anyone wants to pick up their bow and shoot them at me, I'll pick up my bow and shoot back, and we can have not in the temple room, but verbally we can have discussion on the basis of Shastra. Shastra is our astra. Yes.
What about the devotees? Killing like beating other devotees.
Devotees beating other devotees. Devotees don't beat devotees. Well, sometimes it happens, but it's not desirable. Threatening. Well, I mean, you don't have to. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, that it's It's not standard behavior to beat devotees. It's not really something that we have to even think about. It might happen. It's not unknown, but it's not desirable. As a general case, there may be some case where someone goes mad or something and you may have to beat them just to control them. I've seen that. I mean, devotees, they suddenly manifest insanity. And they have a nervous breakdown or something. I've seen that personally seen it on a few occasions, right? Devotees have to grab a hold of them and forcibly restrain them, but normally that should not be there. Devotee commits mistakes and you beat him. No, it shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be there. Kshatriya nature means you should know what you're doing. Kshatriya acts according to dharma. Kshatriya doesn't mean a bully or a gunda. That's not a kshatriya. It's not a kshatriya. I heard it said, I've never had it confirmed, but I've heard it said that Srila Prabhupada said that because there was a woman prime minister, Indira, that proved that there's no kshatriya left in the whole of India. Because no kshatriya would agree to be ruled by a woman. And now again we have the Rashtrapatni, right? How can you be a Rashtrapati if you're a woman, then become a Rashtrapatni? But then it's Bharat Mata. So what are they, lesbians or what? The Rashtrapati is the pati of Bharat Mata. Is that the idea? I don't know, the whole thing's ati vichitram. This whole democracy idea, it's all useless, really. One Parikshit is much better than dozens of Manmohans or VP Singhs or Chandrasekhars or whoever. One Parikshit with one sword. Anyway, let's not talk politics. I was just in Andhra Pradesh. They're having this big agitation for Telangana. So, who's going to stop cow slaughter? None of them. So what difference does it make? The politicians are making the agitation so they can get the post. But they don't know that they have to take 1/6 of the sinful reactions of the citizens. And there's a huge slaughterhouse just outside Hyderabad. So they think that they're doing a good thing it's good for themselves to make a new state, but they're just setting themselves up for a very bad future. People don't know. The people have no idea of this perspective. We have a new perspective. There's this Maoist disturbance. It's more than a disturbance. All over India, and particularly in West Bengal. So what's our perspective on that? Well, one perspective could be that, actually some devotees, they told me, one disciple of mine, she is in Nepal, she's married to the local Maoist leader. So some devotees went to that area in Janakpur, just on the border with Bihar, and then that man, he called a meeting of all the young men, and they're mostly educated young men who had become Maoists. And they said that, and they were angry because they said, you see, we have no prospect, the whole society is so corrupt and bad, and they were idealistic, they didn't want to become part of it, there's not much hope for them either in the way the system's set up. So they said, well, if we had known about Krishna consciousness, we could have taken to that. Because They become Maoists because they think, they see the whole society is so corrupt. And what have you got in store for you? You work since infancy. From infancy you have to study. You see the kids going to school, they're carrying books on their back. The weight of the books is almost as much as the weight of the child. And the poor children have to carry that to school. And they're studying like 12 hours a day from about the age of 6 or something. And then they get a job and then they just have to work hard all their life. I mean, it's miserable. People, you don't have to be that intelligent to understand that it's just exploitation. So people become Maoists. So I say, yeah, they've got valid grievances. It's not just a matter of building roads and building schools. That's the idea they have. When they eventually go in there and blast all the Maoists in Paschim Midnapur, then they have to do development work. You have to build schools and roads, and that's why that's not enough. You have to give them spiritual knowledge. You have to give them a real purpose of life. We should make the farm communities, in which Prabhupada said we can show spiritual communism. It's long overdue. That's the answer to all the social problems. Or not all, because as long as we're in this world, there will be problems. But that's the antidote to industrial and post-industrial anomie. Do you know that word, anomie? It means when people feel they just can't relate to the situation at all. They just don't feel part of it. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. You have a question? Your hand half went up there. Half went up and then it went down. Now it's up again. Okay, ask quickly. Soldiers fight with guns. Earlier they fought with bows and arrows. But they're not like the tribals' bows and arrows. That was with mantra shakti. Have you seen the tribals? I used to see in Mayapur, the tribals used to be running around in different parts. They have no clothes, or they just have a little, and then they have bows and arrows. Arjuna wasn't like that. Their arrows had mantra shakti. And Arjuna himself was trained he was trained by Drona, and he was blessed by various devatas. So their bows and arrows, they're weapons which can produce fire, weapons which can produce water, weapons which can, arrows which one arrow will become 500 arrows. Arrows which become air weapons, they create hurricanes. Then there's the guided missiles, like the Brahmastra, that only goes where it's sent by mantra to where to its target. So it was actually much more deadly than guns. And much more dharmic also, because the whole battle was more dharmic. They didn't send the women to war like they do nowadays. Isn't that stupid? They're sending the women just to show that women have equal rights. They send them out to get shot at and killed. That's not dharma. Only the kshatriyas would fight. And then the charioteers, they'd get in the line of fire also, so they might get killed. But basically the battle was between kshatriyas. So what was your question? What's that?
The current soldiers, all over the world, they can be competent
in Kshatriya category? They can what? I can't
understand.
Are they Kshatriyas? They're Kshatriya Pratibimba, that's all. They're reflection. They're not the real thing. That, just like Prabhupada said, you'll always find these four classes of people in human society. Intellectuals. But the modern intellectuals, they're... It's just like Ravana, he was a pundit. His son Indrajit, he was expert at performing yajnas. Were they brahmanas? In one sense you could say so, but not in the true sense of the term. They were intellectuals and priests, but they were demons. So kshatriyas, You see, in America, there are people who go to work in the morning. They go from their home to their office, and in their office they sit and they guide missiles in Iraq. They're sitting in America, and they're guiding missiles to kill people in Iraq, sitting in America. Is that a kshatriya? I don't think so. So, that spirit may be there in some of the people. They have the spirit to want to protect others, to fight for a good cause, but at best we can say they are the perverted reflection of a real kshatriya. Real kshatriya should be trained in knowledge of dharma, and he should know who is a brahmana, how to respect them. That was Arjuna's dilemma. Arjuna didn't have a problem with fighting. He'd already fought so many battles and killed so many people. But he wanted to fight only for the sake of dharma. If it wasn't for the sake of dharma, if he thought it was a dharma to fight, he was ready to give up the whole kingdom. He wasn't fighting for the kingdom because we want to enjoy it. But that was a factor there also. But he was not interested in enjoying it unless it was on the basis of dharma. So he was not prepared to fight unless it was on the basis of dharma. That is a kshatriya. And one who fights to support demons with no knowledge of dharma, they may have something resembling the kshatriya spirit, but it's not true kshatriya spirit. Yeah. You were going to ask something.
Maharaj, as you were telling that, whenever there is a problem, God serving Krishna, you should take it and you should fight back. Just like I was asking this question in connection with fight we had here in the opposite building. Sometimes you see, generally, in our devotees circle, that we prefer reading books.
We prefer reading books, yeah. Sure we do. But when it comes time for fight, then you have to fight also.
And becoming grammatical. And we prefer that, but when sometimes the problem starts, means...
We prefer that's already on the wrong basis. We have to do what Krishna wants. That's a devotee. Everyone has their preference, but we should do what Krishna wants. And it doesn't mean that we have to go looking for fights. We should avoid as far as possible. Not as far as possible, but it's not in every case that we may fight. Just like Prabhupada, there was some political, not exactly political, that Lilavati Munshi, the wife of the governor of UP. She wanted that building which Prabhupada was in Jhansi. So Prabhupada, he thought, I could have fought, I had a good case, even though she's the governor's wife, but still I have a good case. But he thought, then why shall I fight? All his godbrothers were embroiled in legal, many of them were embroiled in legal cases. I just left home. I had, in his business life, he had so many fights and tangles. He thought, why should I fight? At that stage, he didn't want to fight. Later, for the Bombay land, he fought like anything. So, discretion is the better part of valor, is one English saying. You should choose your fights well. Not that we always have to fight. Sometimes we have to fight. But it makes sense also to see what are the chances of winning. Discretion. You know what that means? Discretion. It means wise judgment. So we'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Duryodhana ki. Just see, I caught you. No, it's Krishna or Arjuna. They get the jai, not Duryodhana is defeated.